Is there no justice in this world? How often have we said that? We hear stories of criminals who obviously are guilty, but get off on some technicality and go free only to injure more victims. So often, the innocent suffer. In large cities, victims of crime may scream for help, but their cries are ignored by those who do not want to be involved. The disparity between rich and poor grows every year. In the business world, those who bend the rules and step on those beneath them often do come out on top. Nice guys do finish last. Maybe you all might be familiar with this story. Back in the late 1980s, five boys were convicted of charges of violent attacks against a woman in New York's Central Park. They called it the Central Park Jogger Case, or the documentary I recently watched, The Central Park Five. These young men lost 7 to 13 years of their life for a crime they didn't commit. It's never fair when you are punished for someone else's wrongdoing. Is there no justice? Why doesn't God do anything? Why doesn't God come down and punish the wicked? He's done it before. Why doesn't God bring justice? Is he not good enough? Does he not care? Is he not powerful enough to control all the evil? If we are honest with ourselves, we must admit that we may play part in the problem of injustice rather than the solution. We may be the ones who go unpunished when we turn a deaf ear to someone who's in need, who asks for help. We may be the ones stepping on or stepping over others to get to the top. If God would completely eliminate injustice, everyone would have to go. But God wants everyone to be saved, to come to a knowledge of the truth. So for now, but we don't know how long, God continues to let the world go on so that more can be brought to the faith of Christ Jesus. This was all made possible by our suffering Savior. Isaiah 53, verse 8 reads, "By oppression and judgment he was taken away. Yet who of his generation protested? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was punished. By oppression and judgment he was taken away." This fulfilled the arrest, the trial, and the sentencing of our Lord and Savior. By oppression and judgment, he was taken away, spit on, mocked, humiliated. This was also a reminder that this was the judicial process, the arrest, the sentencing, the activity of a court, and a judge. But it's hard to see innocence without any justice. Yet who of his generation protested? Who of his generation cared? Who of his generation considered his suffering? For he was cut off from the land of the living. At the time of Christ's death, perhaps no one imagined that he would have a future or future followers. Who will want to risk suffering the same kind of unjust fate as Jesus did? What does this humiliation, unjust treatment, and suffering lead to? In the book of Acts, in chapter 8, we read about Philip and an Ethiopian. Philip was a believer and a follower of Christ, not to be confused with the apostle Philip, one of the 12. This Philip was brought onto a committee to help the apostles share the gospel on their mission. And in Acts, it says the Holy Spirit came to Philip, directed him to go south to desert roads. Now, on his way, he met an Ethiopian, and he was a eunuch. He was emasculated. Now, the Bible doesn't say how he became a eunuch, but we do learn this eunuch, like many other eunuchs, held a high power of position. This Ethiopian eunuch was the treasurer for the queen of Ethiopia. Now, the reason why eunuchs held these positions was because they worked closely with women. Another reason why these eunuchs held these positions, because over the years, they would gain a lot of trust. And what came with that is a lot of power. But you didn't have to worry about them overthrowing your kingdom or taking over because they didn't have the family to support any of that. Some of them were looked at as outcasts. They were forbidden to do things, rejected by some. Deuteronomy says, no one who has become a eunuch could come into the assembly of God. They weren't allowed to worship, establish a relationship with Christ. But here's how the Holy Spirit works. The Ethiopian eunuch went to Jerusalem to worship. Now, it's more than likely that he did not get a chance to worship when he arrived in Jerusalem. And he had traveled a great distance. And it was a long way back. And I imagine traveling all that distance, looking for God's word, looking for a sense of belonging. When he got there and he wasn't able to worship, he may have felt rejected. In all his power, in all his status, when he was turned away, if he was turned away, he may have felt humiliated. For sometimes we come to worship because we just feel empty and we want to be filled up with the only thing that can fill us up, the Holy Spirit. Empty and alone, he may have been feeling when he left Jerusalem, but he didn't leave empty-handed. He brought back a scroll to read on his way back. Money talks now, and money talked then. When he rolled up to Jerusalem, I'm thinking he looked like he had deep pockets. So they may have said, "You can't come in to worship, but you can take one of these scrolls off our hands. And that he did. And those scrolls weren't cheap. But the Ethiopian was looking for God's word and God's spirit. Little did he know, and we sometimes don't even realize when God's word and God's spirit is coming for us. In Acts it says, this man, the Ethiopian, had gone to Jerusalem to worship. And on his way home, he was sitting in his chariot, reading the book of Isaiah, the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. So put yourself in a place where somebody real famous is in town, or someone like the vice president or high established FBI agent or the treasurer of the United States. If they're rolling with their entourage, you're not just going to pull up on them and follow them. That might be dangerous. My daughter got a chance to meet President Biden last week, and they didn't let her know that she was invited until the very last minute. And then came a long list of expectations. You just don't go and run up on people. But Philip had the Holy Spirit. So he was empowered. And when the Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it, Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. And he said to him, do you understand what you are reading? Now, I hope when my daughter was in that important environment, she didn't go up to anybody and say, are you sure you know what you're doing? That probably would have been rather dangerous. But Philip was bold. And do you see how the Spirit brought Philip to share the gospel and the Ethiopian to receive the gospel? That's what the Spirit did. After he asked, do you understand what you are reading? After Philip asked that of the Ethiopian said, how can I unless someone explains it to me? If I don't have the Spirit of the Lord with me, how can I understand God's word? If God is not with me, how can I possibly understand what he's trying to tell me? He said, no, I can't understand this. I need someone to explain it to me. And we know that the Spirit of the Lord was with Philip. So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. And this is the passage of scripture the eunuch was reading, Isaiah 53. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. When I first started to visit churches, and then I eventually landed being a member here, When I would come here to listen to the word, at first, I didn't know what anyone was saying. I didn't understand any of it. It might as well have been in another language. I got an F in Spanish when I was in school. It might as well have been in Spanish. Didn't understand it. But as time went on, sometimes when I came to worship, I thought God was talking directly to me. The word in the scripture that was being read and shared, I felt it applied directly to me. I could relate to it. That was the Holy Spirit. Because I know sometimes I talk too much, but I know I wasn't out there telling all my business. So how in the world could I just come, hear God's word, and feel him reaching out, feel him personally ministering to me? It was the Spirit of the Lord. And I believe, as the Ethiopian was reading Isaiah with Philip, the Spirit of the Lord was there helping him to understand. Because it sounds like he too started to relate. Because he was like, tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about? Himself or someone else? Because I too sometimes feel humiliated. I too sometimes feel that I'm treated unfairly. I too sometimes feel deprived. I can relate to whoever this prophet is talking about. Who is he talking about? Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. The Holy Spirit brought Philip and this Ethiopian, who was told probably when he went to different places seeking word of God, he couldn't worship. But there he was, hearing the gospel. And as they traveled along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, well, let the good times keep on rolling. There's some water right there. What can stop me from confessing my faith to Jesus? You mean I'm saved? I'm forgiven? I was humiliated, felt deprived, felt alone? Let me tell everybody this good news. And Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. And then the Spirit took Philip to continue to carry out his mission and to share the gospel. And the Ethiopian eunuch went on rejoicing. For those of us feeling regrets or rejected, our Savior suffered so we could receive his word and his spirit and be confident that we are loved, redeemed, and accepted. For those of us that feel sometimes we don't belong, our Savior suffered so we can have a sense of belonging and be a part of his family. Our Savior suffered so we could rejoice, be empowered, and be bold enough to go out and share the good news about him. What did the humiliation, the unjust treatment, and the suffering of our Savior lead to? Our salvation in him. So now, when we confront injustice, we do not despair. We know God has done something about it. He sent his one and only Son, Jesus, to suffer injustice so that we might be justified, declared righteous, be his descendants, be a part of his family, heirs of eternal life. What gracious justice that is for you and me. Amen.
This message was a production of St. Marcus Lutheran Church. For similar content, subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, or our YouTube channel. For more information about how to support our urban gospel ministry in Milwaukee, please visit stmarcus.org.